Get ready to take a look behind the scenes and enter the impossible for the Between Two Minds podcast with our hosts, Judge Mentalist and Bernardo Rodriguez. Can they really tell you what you're thinking?
What up, what up, what up?
What is going on, everybody? Judge Mentalist here with my man, Bernardo Rodriguez. We are coming at you behind the scenes, Between Two Minds. That's right. That's our 2X stage show where we read your mind and then hypnotize you.
Yes, and this specific one is a, we learn more lessons than not, more on your side, we also had to adapt in other ways, which I will talk about for mine. The first is mics. So I had the ability to use a mic. You know, I talked about, you know, I was excited to start using handheld mics, and, you know, I had the opportunity to use it, but the stage was so kind of, with the amount of people there and how close they were to the stage, I can project my voice very well. I didn't have any issues doing that. It just felt like almost useless to have a mic because everybody could hear me very clearly. Even the camera, you know, for as long as it recorded my set, I did. So on my part, I had a hiccup. Normally I record all shows from me and Jobeth. Mine ended up being one getting cut. So we both have had a hiccup in that area, but that one was more on me, not so much a technical thing, which, yeah, I now know how to handle that. But the show was probably my best show thus far, at least one of them, because, man, that second show, I still think about that. That show was crazy. But what was funny about the drawing bit in the first one, or the second one, because, you know, there was a funny moment where I asked the gentleman if he liked sports, and he immediately, with the most stern face, said no. And that was one of the funniest moments in the show.
Yeah.
That show, and just pausing for that moment, everybody was just reacting to it. So I developed, or I should say, I utilized a method with the drawing bit that I do, for anyone that's seen it. If not, definitely come check us out. Where I guess, you know, determine who's lying and find out who's drawing is what. In this case, I added a little more comedy to it, to where they drew their first crush, how it would have looked when they were kids. And I got to have people do ridiculous things that were hilarious. Like, I asked a gentleman, give me your best pickup line. And the first dude was like, it was almost like I asked him the hardest trivia question, because, like, everyone's,
oh man, that dude was just a deer in headlights.
Yo, he was like, I was like, oh, that's fine. You don't got nothing. You're a natural. It's fine. I felt like my improv in that scenario was so on point that I'm going to put myself in positions where, you know, I have moments like that. I now see how I can do it. And this was a great stepping stone for that. I moved on. I got some funny ones like, what's a good pickup line? Dude said, how old are you? Yo, you know, I would feel bad if I had this recorded telling y'all this, but because I don't, I need documentation for this. It was the funniest thing, and it had a lot of layers that you actually determined. But it was a hilarious moment, the how old are you? Because, you know, he was a kid at the time, so, you know, he's asking, but there's other layers to that as well. But obviously that's a hilarious thing to ask. And I'd say, well, at least you're being cautious, and kind of eventually I got to a pickup line. And then I go back to do it again, and I go to the first guy who couldn't think of one, and he says, can you start on the other end? And that was a hilarious moment. There was just moments where I could have them do ridiculous things like, I want you to say hello as if, you know, you're trying to pick them up and seduce them. It was so funny looking at their face, and would have said, man, you would have definitely walked out with this one, and stuff like that. Like, it was, the interaction points were solid. Obviously for this, I had nothing but gentlemen on stage. So an effect like that works. Obviously, you know, if I have a mix of gender, they're going to draw different, genders of first crush. And that's gonna, you know, be like, well, you know, you're the only girl on stage, this has to be you kind of thing. You know, it's less funny. And honestly, something about getting guys up there, you know, women definitely love to holler when it comes to the comedy bits around that. So just putting people in those scenarios, it works way more in my favor for guys, because, you know, they definitely like lean into the moments a lot, which was in my favor as well, but it made them a huge part of the show, which was
I got awesome. A new line out of it. All right. I got to open my show talking about how normally I'm the one that gets people to say crazy off the wall stuff, but you got to see that in the first half of the show, and nothing pleased me more than to be able to come up with and deliver whatever version I actually said of that line. It was great. It was great.
Yeah, that was like a whoa moment. It turned a trick that was really good into like a holy crap. And with this being the first traveling show, I didn't do the new intro that I did for Cecil College. I'll be bringing it back, and I'll definitely have methods of traveling with that as well. If you don't know, you will if you go see the show, because I'm not going to end the surprise on that one. But it is dangerous routine. And
are you telling people that if they come out to see us on April 27th at Northeast High School, they're going to see the new opener?
They are. They are. And it's going to be good.
Which means that as of the time that we're recording this, if you did not go to the Cecil College show, you have not seen this.
True. So go. Now,
tickets are all available at betweentwominds.com like they always are.
You know where to find us.
And I think we're doing this in a big room. So there's almost no, let me be clear. When I say that there's almost no chance that we're going to sell this room out just because I think we're doing a huge auditorium, don't let that discourage you from buying your tickets early. Please buy your tickets early. They're using some sort of nonprofit fundraising website where you can see every time tickets are sold. So please, if you're going to go to this show, buy your tickets now, because as more people see more tickets selling, that's going to encourage more people to buy tickets. Our fees, like with all of these fundraiser shows, and this is going to be kind of a quasi pitch for getting us to come to a fundraiser show for you, our fees are capped, okay? We set a price and we say, hey, this is how it works, and we're going to take no more money than X, and that money, that varies based on how much travel and expense. That number is relatively low for this show because it's in our backyard. Yeah. All we want to do is share this show with as many people as possible. All right. We're going to get our money. So us pushing ticket sales is not about us getting paid. It's about raising more money for the Northeast High School marching band and filling the damn room, because it is, you know, it's an awesome show. We're constantly working on it. We're constantly tweaking it. We are, and we'll continue to talk about in this episode, constantly learning new things, some of them technical, some of them within the show. But yeah.
Yeah. So this added a fun layer. I kept the same beginning for this one that I normally do for anyone, that has seen the show, the earlier renditions, my favorite bits, just being the fact that in the beginning of the show, they're like, oh, he's just here for jokes. And then it has like a full 360. And then this bit came up with the drawings, and there was a hiccup on my end on it, but it just didn't matter. And I don't mind telling people this, but it still had the good ending, and it didn't ruin the effect. And because I got all those laughs in the beginning, like that alone was just made that such a solid piece. And then I get to the book bit, which one of the other changes I made was we cut this down. So we had to work with a kind of a tighter restraint. So it started at 6:30-ish, and I would say probably more 6:40, and we had to end at 8. So I cut mine down to about 30 minutes. I don't have footage to confirm the exact amount of time, but I'd like to think I was relatively close. I cut up the finale I normally do on Between Two Minds. It didn't matter even the slightest, because I was able to build up the regular routines I normally do up even more, which was great. And I ended with the book bit, which anyone has seen our show knows that is a really powerful moment. And I got to give it to a gentleman who, according to kind of his friends that I got to chat with after, you know, they were surprised that, you know, he got up and was so excited to do it. But man, when I was watching him react to everything throughout the show, he was loving every second of it. So I was like, I need to have that guy up here. And I knew he would have been the perfect helper. And I got to give him an amazing moment. It was, that show was spectacular. It taught, obviously there's lessons to be learned in all these shows, but I feel like the last two shows were like huge levels up, right? I got to learn how it was like to do with a mic in my new intro. And then this one, I got to see what it was like to really just change the theme of the tricks I'm already doing. And that just added so much more weight to everything that I did. So it was more interesting to watch. It was a lot more hilarious. And for the college group, they ate it all up.
And
outside of that, we transitioned to one part of the show that had a lot of interesting hiccups that we worked around, or you did, I should say. I figured
it out. All right, so look, I describe this show as the everything that could go wrong that was outside of our control did go wrong. Mm-hmm. And we powered through and absolutely crushed it. This was a fundraiser show. This is one. So when I was an undergrad, I was in a fraternity, and the fraternity is a national organization. And part of that national organization is that we have nationally a nonprofit organization that we all do fundraiser events for each and every year. So I had the bright idea of, hey, let me start reaching out to some of these fraternity chapters, because there's probably like 100 or so in the U.S. right now. I don't know the exact number, but more than one. And let's propose that we do this show and do it as a fundraiser for the Serious Fun Camps. And we got one group to say, hey, let's do it. And if you go to Serious Fun, SERIOUS, fun.org, you'll see more about the organization. Basically, it was originally founded by Paul Newman, the actor. He was a member of one of the chapters of the fraternity, eons ago. And it provides these summer camps for kids who have terminal illnesses, and they don't have to pay a dime. So it's really great. While I was an undergrad, every year we would do fundraisers for that cause. So I figured, hey, why not keep giving back in that way? So we did this show. It was not, they didn't do a great job of selling tickets. Whatever, it is what it is. So, the downside to that was that obviously people who weren't in that room missed the show, and it was a great show. Mm-hmm. And they didn't raise a ton of money for the nonprofit, but this is a building block. Everybody had a great time. They're going to talk about this show. We were very clear with them that we were happy with the way that things worked out. Yeah. They're very aware of the fact that we actually lost money on this show because of what it cost us to fly down there. But we're interested in working with them again. Why? Because we know that next year they're going to fill that room. And we're going to come down there and it's going to be great. So that was kind of the first thing that sort of kind of went wrong. The next thing, we were in this auditorium. This auditorium will seat, 250 people or something like that. And for whatever reason, we could not get the sound to link into the main sound system for the room, despite the fact that the microphone that we were using was theirs and was linked into that same system. So one of the guys that was, from the fraternity ran out and got, somebody had this big, probably like 12-inch Bluetooth speaker. Mm-hmm. So we hooked the iPad into that using Bluetooth. And that worked at first. And then midway through my induction, it cut out. And it didn't just cut out.
Bluetooth on.
It was one of those where every time the Bluetooth
disconnected.
The Bluetooth speaker felt like it needed to tell you what it was doing as it was doing, which was annoying as shit. But what it did was it
volume, by the way, while it was at the lowest
volume. And it probably one of the most important times to not have extraneous, distracting sounds. But I opted to just ignore it and move forward and move through. And it was the first show that I've done where I kept each and every volunteer that came up from the very beginning. Nobody got sent down. Nobody needed to be sent down. And after reviewing it later, I didn't feel like any of the people that I had up on stage were just playing along and not being disruptive, because it's a fine line. And I usually won't kick those people off until I feel like they're going to be a problem. And I know that in past shows, I've had some of those people. Sometimes I start with people that I think are that way, and then they get deeper and they get, you know, as the process goes on. But this time I had people that, even the ones that I initially questioned, I catch them stuffing napkins into their pockets, and people don't do that when they're playing along. Napkins don't go into pockets when people are playing along. They're going into people's pockets when they feel like they need to keep these things, that there's value to them. And there was definitely some of that. People crawling on the floor when I wasn't looking to pick up napkins, all sorts of stuff like that. And drum roll, please. The best version I've done to date of
invisibility.
Yeah. So we haven't clipped that out yet and put it online, have we?
No. I have it clipped, actually. I think, I don't know if I exported it yet, but I do have the clip for it.
Okay, cool. So by the time that you hear this episode, if you go to my YouTube channel, which is just youtube.com/@psychicish, you'll probably see this clip. It'll probably be one of the newest clips that's there. The invisibility in Atlanta. You could also just go buy the whole show.
it's worth it.
It's definitely worth it. And like with all of our shows, when we when we do these, and the tickets are available to, what's the word I'm looking for? When there's a nonprofit show and we're selling the show video, a portion of those proceeds go back to that nonprofit every single time. So yeah, you're also giving money to a good cause.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I will say that, with all of those hiccups, the solution ended up being completely disregard that Bluetooth, because I think it was dead. And well, we thought it was, but then we hard plugged it in and it was constantly getting a charge. So it just was not trying to stay connected. So instead, I just shut that off. I wedged the iPad on there and we played the audio directly from the iPad, which, by the way, is way louder than I ever anticipated, because it was very loud. It was, you could hear it, and it added just enough of the atmosphere to where it was workable. And I think that definitely said, hey, maybe in the future we have a mini Bluetooth speaker like a Bose that's really loud, which I think you already have.
Which I have, yes.
Just bringing it, because, I mean, things like that can happen. And I don't think the music adds a layer to it that's more engaging for the audience.
For the audience, yeah.
But it's not necessary. And while I wasn't 100% sure it was going to work in our favor for the people being hypnotized, it definitely was the case. It still went under. They were definitely probably some of the deepest, with the amount, I would say 6 times at the minimal, that thing shouted out Bluetooth on in the middle of the beginning of the induction, not just like halfway through. It was right at the start. And it was frustrating initially working on the back and forth, but I'm glad that, you know, the iPad was at least loud enough for the audience to hear, because the echo and the acoustics in the room also did it its favors as well. But I think there were lessons we learned as well in case stuff like that happens, because you know, we're not always going to be able to, you know, fly across the country with a PA system, because that's just not going to happen.
Yeah, but that Bluetooth speaker is powerful. I plan to set it up probably this weekend in the event space at my house and see really how it projects. Also, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to announce something exciting, because it's going to be relevant for me figuring, it's likely going to be relevant for me figuring out how to, and really just getting comfortable running my own sound. I'm doing 5 shows at the Rochester Fringe Festival in September, which is super exciting. I know they have closed the submissions, but they haven't, I had already written off any possibility until I woke up this morning to an offer. So you may still get one, because it's only been like 2 weeks since they closed the submissions.
Yeah, we'll see. So it is possible. You did submit like...
I submitted earlier,
or two before me. I want to say at least a week.
And the Rochester Fringe... So when you do Rochester Fringe, which I'm obviously, you know this because you did it, but our listeners might not. You fill out one application, you upload all of your credentials, all of your media, all of the stuff that, that will get people interested in purchasing it. And then they I want to say they have what, like 15, 20 different venues. So you go through, you've got this dashboard with all the different venues and you peek in and you get the information. What's the setup look like? What's the room look like? What's the whatever? You know, how many people, what is available? You'll find out if they've got microphones, if they've got a sound system for you to hook into, this, that, and the other. Also, what kind of acts that they're looking for. So you pick and choose which ones you want to submit your application to. And then each of those goes through and reviews them and decides to make you an offer. That offer is going to include, you know, how the payment's going to work and everything like that, what their proposed ticket price is, et cetera, times and the dates of the show. So I already know the times that I'm going to be performing my show in Rochester and the dates. Those aren't released yet. I'll do that once there's once the ticket sales are available. They will both be on judgmentalist.com and between2minds.com. So if anybody's on there and you're looking and you see asterisks beside any of the shows, I think one asterisk means it's just a hypnosis show. Two asterisks means it's just Bernardo doing a mentalism show. So that we just keep everything for us all in that one page.
Yeah, true. And yeah, dude, I'm excited for you on this one as well, because this is going to be huge. You're going to get a lot of back-to-back experience, which is what we need.
And that's going to be, you know, for anybody that is individually buying our shows, and I know that we've got a bunch of people that do that each and every time, but if you are individually buying our shows, you may want to consider checking out the Patreon that for $25 a month, I think is what it is, $20 or $25 a month, you then get access to all of the shows. So we do a show every month. Sometimes we do more than one show, but when we get to the clips, like what's going to happen, somebody bought something since the last time I logged in. There's people always buying the show. That tier is, you know, when I do five shows in 5 days in Rochester, you can get them all. So that's $100 worth of, you know, the purchase. And so that's three or four months worth. I'm having trouble navigating here to find out what the tiers are, because I want to be able to let people know exactly. I don't want to throw a number out there and have it be inaccurate.
That's fair.
And nobody, and I just added this tier, so nobody signed up for it yet.
Oh, fair.
I don't know how this thing works. membership. There it is. $25. $25 a month. You will get in your feed every single live show as we do it. And even though that starts with the Cecil College show, eventually I will upload all of the backlog of shows as well. So if you haven't bought one of our shows yet and you sign up for that $25 tier, you're eventually going to have access to all of them. And so, yeah.
Hell yeah. And I guess the other thing to entice you to be excited for this Atlanta show, because I'm not going to spoil it, but normally he has individuals dances of Vegas showgirls. And one of the members, the girl who we did invisibility for, who was a rock star in this whole thing, she decided to do something a lot different than everybody else. And it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Oh, yes, that's right.
I was scratching my head thinking, what is going on right now? And it was so good. So if not for the invisibility, which you should definitely be interested to see, because her reaction was great, but that dance moment that was different than everyone else's is well worth you checking out. And if that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. But it is worth it. That was a great show for sure for both of us.
Absolutely.
And I guess final plug, if you know, you spaced out in the beginning, April 27th, we are going to be at Northeast Maryland High School. It is going to be a fundraiser to benefit the marching band, the Northeast High Marching Band. So it will be an awesome show. We should see a lot of familiar faces from the Tome show and then also a bunch of new ones, which I am super excited for. So if you are local, you're listening to this and you're interested in kind of checking out our show because you keep hearing about it, this is your chance. So, I will close this out by saying,
Bluetooth off.
See ya.
Thank you for tuning in to the Between Two Minds Behind the Scenes podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media under Between Two Minds with the number two instead of TWO, or under Enter the Impossible. Thank you, and we hope to see you back for the next episode.